Today, we're going to preach a message called How Then Shall We Live 3.0, okay? You can read it as How Then Shall We Live through MCO 3.0 or just kind of matching with that. But How Then Shall We Live or How Shall We Then Live, however you want to say it. Really, the concept was by Francis Schaeffer. And I think that the moment where we had MCO 1.0, which is last year, we did a series called How Then Shall We Live, right? Live bold, not small, you know, and all of that, okay? So this series was kind of a last minute that I decided to change because we were going to talk about Unstoppable Season 2. But about 2 days ago, I felt like maybe God wanted to change and shift the direction. So I hijacked that series out and I decided to do How Then Shall We Live 3.0 for this week and next weekend. And the goal is very simple. If you have been tracking with the pandemic and all that's happening in this nation, you will know that this is not the easiest time, especially the Prime Minister three days ago, make an announcement that talk about the variants that has kind of took our whole pandemic battlefront to totally another new level. And I know that whenever we hear such news, and it depends on you, some of you are health kind of a person, then immediately all your focus is about the pandemic, what to do, what not to do. If you're a business kind of a guy, then you potentially will think about what's going to happen. Maybe you got your loved one. So I know that this is not the easiest of time. This is not the best of time. This is really a very stretching season. And something about in those season, you will have words that potentially don't exist in your heart now starts to become big words. Words like concern, anxious, depression, giving up, uncertainty. So all this will become to creep in into your soul. So a lot of things that you used to think about become secondary, takes the back seat. So my goal today was to bring forth the word that I think God wants us to latch on even in this season of 3.0, all right? And the verse is actually based on Romans 12:12. That's according to what you can see from the digital, which I'm going to read to you shortly, okay? So I know this is not the best. In fact, for me personally, yesterday, we have one of our church members who passed away because of cancer. And we have one of the saddest news, one of the favorite teacher of FLC, Tew Fan, who taught all my three kids in Econs. And she passed away suddenly as well because of cancer. So I know it's not the best of time, which is why I think it is more important for us to pay attention with what I'm going to say. There's actually a story behind this verse that now has been that kind of anchoring verse for me and my wife, and I'm bringing it to my children in this particular season. On the 17th of April, I received a stressful and urgent call from Kat. Some of you know Kat, Alan and Kat. Kat is they were the founder of the FLC, which is a school that used to use our premise. It's a dear friend of ours. And we were actually in the midst of a victory weekend where Kat called me and told me that, you know, Alan had a massive accident and he's in emergency and his life, don't know whether he can pull through. He says, Pastor, I need prayer, you know. So after kind of calmed her down and I found out that he was cycling and it was a downhill slope and he lost control. He fell awkwardly, broke the helmet and massively injured the neck. And this 3, 4, 5, 6, the moment he went into the hospital in an ICU, emergency, ampang, and the first diagnosis from all the medical doctors is most probably fractured and maybe broken bones. And then he struggled massively to breathe. And in the midst of all the struggle, they have to sedate him and tube him and, you know, put him in like a coma stage, you know, and then just to keep him in peace while they're trying to sort out what exactly happened. So when that call came in, it was a very stressful call. Being a dear friend of ours, we immediately felt so much for this family, and especially all my kids were groomed by them, so to speak, in that school. So we wanted to do everything possible to stand with them. So we prayed, we were, you know, so somewhere along that journey, and there were many ups and downs that comes along, but somewhere in that journey, maybe after a couple of days, one of the verse that seemingly came out of nowhere was really Romans 12:12, which really says, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, and persistent in prayer. Or in this version, this is how it's read. All right, maybe I'll show you the verse later, okay? That little verse that seems to somehow became something that help me and my family and her especially to maneuver through all of this. So today, I wanted to take those three little phrases. Rejoice in hope. What does that mean? Patient in tribulation. We're going to deal a little bit more with that next weekend. And persistent in prayer. I want to take that three little phrase and I want to give to all of you that's listening, watching. Because I think these are the three things that can coexist. Interesting, right? Tribulation, prayer, hope, all can coexist and helping us to navigate through a very challenging season, whether it's pandemic, whether it's economy, and that's my whole entire attempt, all right? Now, to help us to bring light to that particular verse, I kind of need to walk through with you a little bit about Paul, who wrote this particular verse, his ministry, and also the letter that he wrote to the Church of Rome, which is the book of Romans, okay? The book of Romans, right? Now, you must understand that Paul got saved somewhere about AD 34, and in fact, Unstoppable, we're going to kind of talk about his life very soon. And then by the time he wrote this book, he is already in his third missionary journey, just before he went back to Jerusalem and being captured and caught and eventually went through a series of prisons. He was actually, could be in Corinth and maybe a bit of Ephesus or somewhere traveling around there, that he penned down the letter to the Romans. So which means that Paul has completed, about that was AD 57. So Paul was already completed about 23 years of his ministry out of the 30, 31, 32 max of the years of ministry serving God. All right. So Paul served God for that length of time. This is two-thirds of his ministry, which means when Paul wrote down this three little verse that I think he didn't say it out of an empty shell. He didn't say it out of a vacuum. He said it out of a certain conviction that he says, when you are in trials, there is hope that you can rejoice. There is patience that you can walk through. And there is something about prayer that can navigate you through all of this. And he said it because I think he personally experienced. So I think I'm going to walk through with you. So if you can recall, out of 20 over years ministry of Paul, he experienced two-thirds of the suffering that he experienced, right? The last one-third is when he went his voyage to Rome and the shipwreck and all of that. But prior before all this, for the two-thirds of the ministry, he captured exactly in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, verse 11. This is what he says, okay? He says that, I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, being flogged more severely and been exposed to death again and again. Man, this man escaped death again and again. Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one, which is 39. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stone. If you remember Lystra, Derbe, Iconium, when he was there, first mission, he was pelted with stone. Three times I was shipwrecked, which means that the next one, which is voyage to Rome, will be the fourth at least. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. Talk about floating around. And then the Bible says, I have been constantly on the move. I've been danger from rivers, danger from bandits, danger from my fellow Jews, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the country. And then he says, toil and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. You know, when Paul wrote all of that, you will know that Paul has gone through a fair bit, a massive list of tribulation and hardship, all right? And I'm sure pandemic is somewhere in there that he has to go through. So Paul wasn't just an apostle that wrote all of this out of nowhere. So in his ministry, he has seen a fair bit of hardship, right? Now, let's move on to Paul's letter. He wrote it to the church in Rome. And like I say, he wanted to visit the Church of Rome. So he wrote a letter which became his masterpiece of all his writing because it captures the wealth and the riches of what the gospel is all about. So the way the book of Rome, the book of Romans was structured was first one all the way to 11. He was talking about this glorious salvation that we can put our hope in. He was talking about what Christ did for us and all of that. Verse 12, he began to take a shift. He began to apply all that Romans 1 and 11 talk about, which is why verse 12 talk about, he says, I beseech you, which is why I appeal to you, I beg you. And that was really the word. He says that you will offer your life as a living sacrifice, not the kind of sacrifice we think about, but he was talking about how we can surrender our life to God. And then be the renewing of the mind. Paul was very clear. He was trying to tell the church in Rome that chapter 1 to 11 is about your doctrine. And then the rest of chapter 12 is the deeds. Chapter 1 to 11 was about the creeds that we believe in. And then verse 12 is about the conduct. The 1 to 11 is about the belief that we have. And then verse 12 is the behavior that we need to have. So he began to apply all that God has done in our life. And then in Romans 12, what was interesting as he talked about being a living sacrifice, starting from verse 9, he has this machine gun nuggets of truth, gold truth that he begins to throw to everybody and then tell everybody this is how you should live your life. You should love without hypocrisy. If you want to give, give generously. If you serve, serve well. If you lead, lead diligently. And he began to give you all the nuggets of truth. In the midst of all the nuggets of truth, that's where we had that little verse in Romans 12, that says that you wanted to be able to be patient in tribulation, rejoice in hope, and then you want to be persistent in your prayer. All right? Now, I want to say the reality of hardship a little bit. Okay, why is this very important? Because somewhere in our theology, there is a particular group of Christians who actually always talk about that God will bless you. And I know God will bless us because that's the very heartbeat of God. But the very Bible that says God will bless you is also the very Bible that tells us that we will actually go through hardship. Hardship is, in fact, extremely, extremely real. So the Bible tells us that because of sin, we will go through hardship. That's very clear. But more than that, Jesus himself actually told us that not only we will go through normal hardship, just like anybody in the world, because of sin. He says that if you believe in God, potentially your hardship will increase because of the resistance and the persecution. And all of us know that Christianity remains the biggest persecuted group of people in the known world today. And John chapter 16, Jesus said this, okay? Jesus said that, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Okay. Now, I really like this particular verse because the Bible tells us that Jesus was very clear when he told the disciples. He says that in the world you will have tribulation, but he says in me you have peace. And I know that we live in the world. So we know that part, in the world we have tribulation, but sometimes we forget the part that in God we have peace. And then he says that take heart because I have overcome the world. Which means that in this particular verse itself, Jesus gave us a secret. He says, for you to be stronger than the tribulation in the world, for you to be stronger than everything that hardship can throw at you in this world, he says, you learn to be in me. Because something about learning how to be in God helps us to be strong in all that we face in the world. All right? Now, and then James chapter 1 says this. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. In fact, it was multifaceted, multicolored. You know, whenever we go through such a pandemic trials, it comes with so many, it comes with all the goods, and comes with finance, comes with stress, comes with depression. Mental health was on a serious debate about this season. And you have all of that because it comes in a package. The lockdown has changed a child's behavior, potentially a husband behavior, a wife behavior. Marriage is at stake and children argue and quarrel at home. And you know, you have all of that. So the Bible says that, yet the Bible says you can consider all joy. You know why? Because the Bible always tells us whenever you go through all of this in Christ, you come out stronger and better and more secure in who you are. So there is that reality of trials. I like this quote by Jack Hills that says that a tribulation gives you the opportunity to test a truth you have always believed. Wow. I like that. What a change of that concept, which means that if you believe that there is God, if you believe that in Christ we can overcome the world, then he says this is the best season for you to test that truth, whether how much you get a hold of that truth or how much the truth get a hold of each and every one of us. All right, let me go back to Romans 12 and kind of walk that through, okay? Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, persistent or faithful in prayer. Now, what was interesting is the Bible tells us that all these three can coexist. Isn't that interesting? Which means that I can be going through tribulation, and the Bible talks about internal posture. There's an external situation as an internal posture. Your internal posture is to be patient, and then your internal posture is hope. Hope in what? Hope and rejoice. Rejoice in hope. That means the external hope is very real. And then third thing, he says you be faithful your internal posture, and prayer, the way you are going to live that out externally in your prayer. Now, all these three can exist. Now, hope is really a very powerful thought. In fact, a survey was done by World War II prisoners who survived the ordeal. It wasn't because of how healthy the food that they ate. It was because all those who survived, or people who had hope, they far surpasses those who eat healthily, which means that hope is a quality, it's an ingredient that actually helps you to overcome certain adversity, which is very true. You know, if you go to a kid and say, hey, you know what, after your exam, we're going to celebrate. So that hope of celebration helped a child to go through the so-called adversity of exam, which is a test of how much they actually know or don't know, right? Or if going through this pandemic, some of us will be able to say that, you know, there is hope because the Pfizer, the AZAC, and you know, all those things is coming out, and because of all this, vaccine that's coming out, I then have hope, because hope is something that you actually cling on and hang on and actually put that. Now, but the Bible interestingly said this. 1 Timothy 6:7 says, tell the rich people, do not put their hope on their wealth. So the Bible clearly tells us, don't put things, hope on things as physical. But then in 1 Peter 1:13, I love this verse. It says that, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, which means that do not let your mind run wild. That means you actually gird it up. Put some discipline, be sober. And then he says, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is going to be brought to you by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, rest your hope fully. You know, we put hope on something, right? He says, put your hope fully on God. Now, the Bible teaches us, whenever the Bible talks about hope, whenever Paul and Jesus and Peter walk through the season of toughness and stretch and hardship and persecution, they seems to model to us there is a little thing called hope fully rested upon who Christ is. Now, I know you're going to ask, how does that look like? Maybe in dialogue, we can kind of unpack that a little bit. But I do know that if I want to model my life according to Paul and Peter, I know that there is this little thing about what it means to rest your hope fully on God, not on the doctor's report, not on what. There is that little place, because something about resting fully on God is what gives you an incredible strength from above that kind of walks through you. So when you look at Paul, Paul always said that, I find myself in Christ. So much so that when he was in Christ, he would tell you, all my credential, and he says, I have such a great credential. I came from the best school, taught by the best teacher, but he says, all those are nothing, because he knew that he wasn't in his credential. He wasn't in his development. He wasn't in his result. He was really in Christ. He says, those were nothing. And in fact, if you look at Paul, what I like is, he said in 2 Corinthians, he says, my momentary suffering is nothing compared to the weight of glory. And that was his hope. So much so that, and I think the most classic case, when he was in prison, he never said, I'm a prisoner of Rome. Did you know that? He says, I'm a prisoner of Christ. This tells you that Paul was so much hanging his hope upon God. No wonder Paul became Paul, because he saw something, he knew something that I and you, even I, can put our hope in God that will kind of walk us through all kinds of seasons, right? So rejoice in hope, fully rested upon who Jesus is. You know, when I went through, remember the MCO one or two, you know, I had a very close contact with the possible aircon. We ate together, pray together, touch, you know, and then hold, you know, food and all those things. And you know what? We could have, should have really been COVID positive, but by the grace of God, we were negative. We had our quarantine, right? But a couple had positive, which is Alfar and Siska. By now, most of you would have known. And I still remember one of the texts I gave to them was, I said, if we stay in Christ, I share a testimony of how God protected me and my wife. They share a testimony of how they were diagnosed positive, and they went through a journey where they gave God the glory, because God was with them every step of the way. If you were to sit down with them, they talk about the neighbor, they talk about people who cared for them, they talk about KKM, you know, they don't have to be there, they stay in the house, how they overcome all the, they will then begin to praise you, praise God. You know why? Because in the midst of all that, when we put our hope in God and not in the system and not what, we begin to see a different perspective. And that's what I want to help all of us, to be able to still, in the midst of a pandemic, rejoice in the hope that God is for us and nothing is against us. And then he says that you want to be patient in tribulation. We will talk a little bit more about this. That was the main focus for next weekend. But I want to read a particular verse in a different version. I like this. He says that you stand your ground during persecution. Wow, I like that. Stand your ground. You know, sometimes in tribulation, we lose our ground. We forget about who God is, and because we shifted our ground. It's easy to stand on the ground that God loves you, God cares for you, God bless you when everything goes well, right? But he says, stand your ground. Well, we'll visit that next weekend. And finally, he says that, be faithful in prayer. You know, Paul never says, be powerful in your prayer. He never says, be long in your prayer. He says, be faithful. You know why? Because faithfulness in prayer is what we struggle the most. Every year, beginning of the year, when we start the year, we will have the biggest that come for prayer meeting. And then by the month, it dwindles down. You know why? Because we are poor in being faithful. Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane, look at the disciples, could you not tarry? We are just human beings that's poor in prayer. But faithfulness in prayer is so important. There was this little two verses I kind of mentioned before. I call it the tale of two prayers, which is something in Unstoppable episode 2. We're going to deal with it because it is really a story of two persons who were faithful in prayer. One is Cornelius, Acts chapter 10 verse 2, and the other one was Peter, Acts chapter 10 verse 9, if I'm not mistaken. And both were faithfully praying unto God. And in that moment, God connected both prayer and created one of the greatest miracles, which is an open door for the Gentiles to receive salvation. It was a birthing of simple two persons who were faithful in their prayer. So I want you to know, no matter what you are going through, faithfulness in prayer is so important. Now, my last couple of verses, let me run through very quickly. Romans 1 was Paul praying at a very simple thing. And the simple thing was, I look forward to visit you. I pray that I get to visit you, right? We do that all the time. I pray that, you know, tomorrow will be a better day. I pray this, right? We do all of that, we pray. Romans 15, he asked them to kind of labor with him in prayer for the gospel. Pray on my behalf. And then 2 Corinthians 12 is where I want to bring you to the focus, because in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul dealt with a prayer where he didn't get what he wanted. You know, Paul has always prayed, and if you study the life of Paul and prayer, there is so many verses in the Bible throughout the epistle. He actually prayed for people and God answered his prayer. And one of the most remarkable prayer that he prayed, I think, was in Acts 26:27, when the voyage to Rome, they had a shipwreck. Everybody panicked. Paul stood up and said, hey, you know what? I spoke to God. God appeared to me. He says, none of your life will be lost. And in fact, he asked them to eat some bread because they have a long journey to go and blah, blah, blah. And God answered him so powerfully. The same God that answered him and created such a miracle, not only he is safe, he says everybody around him will be safe. It's the same God that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul says that, God, I came to you 3 times. And then you say that you're not going to remove the thorn, but then you say, my grace is sufficient for you because in your weakness, I'm strong. You know, the same God that delivered Paul so powerfully, answered in prayer, is the same God that told Paul, for this, I'm not going to do that miracle, but I'm going to do a different miracle. I'm going to help you to stay and understand my grace is more sufficient than anything else. Now, how in the world did Paul get that? Prayer. So somehow in prayer, sometimes it changes the external circumstances. Sometimes it changes the internal circumstances. And that's the power of prayer. That's why Paul says you must be faithful in prayer. Let me give you another verse, which is Philippians chapter 4, right? He says that by everything, prayer and supplication and thanksgiving tells you the many different variations or variants of prayer. Right? We are very careful with the word variance right now. He says, let your request be more, and the peace of God will surpass, will guard you. He says, it is because in prayer, Paul experienced the world of prayer, the world of emotion, the world of miracles. Sometimes it changes the external. God stopped the storm and survived all of them. And sometimes God changes what's in his heart. And that's the beauty about it. No wonder Paul told the church in Rome, he says, I want you to rejoice in hope. Who Christ is. And patient in tribulation, stand your ground. Don't lose your ground. Don't wake up and say, I don't want to come to church. Don't be that. Be stronger than that. And then finally, he says, be faithful in prayer. Because something about prayer that either changes the external or changes everything internal. Now, when you take that 3 measurement, you walk through the life of Jesus. The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He understands to hope in something that's in the future. Jesus was most patient in tribulation. Remember, I talk about it in Isaiah 53, when Pilate gotten him, Jesus did not even speak a word. Pilate was shocked at how silent he was. And finally, the Bible says, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he navigates through his biggest trials of life in prayer. There are three little words kind of navigate the life of Jesus. When you think about Paul, it's the same thing. Paul always talks about hope. And in fact, in the Roman book of Romans, 15 times, he used the word hope to tell the church, you know, the hope of God fills you and lets you be overbound with the hope of God. And he was someone who is always patient, no matter what he goes through. And finally, Paul tells people, you must be persistent. So Paul kind of navigate all of that through his life as well. I want to go back to the story of Cat and Alan. You know, I began by telling you that it was a really very difficult season for that family, especially for Cat and the children, which we felt so much for them. And I still remember that somewhere around the first week when we called Cat and said, Cat, this is the verse that God spoke to me. Let's kind of navigate through this with this verse. And you know, every time, sometimes Cat will call and say, hey, you know what, today I met a doctor. And the doctor gave a very grim report, very difficult report. And I'll say, Cat, remember, let's rejoice in the hope of God, not the doctor's report. Let's be patient in this tribulation and let's be faithful in our prayer. And then we kind of navigate that through and then a couple of days later, and sometimes I have that moment of weaknesses, and then Cat will remind me and says that, let's be faithful in prayer. You know, we just navigate through the ups and downs and the good news and the bad news and the stretching news. But I want you to know, as we do that, we saw miracles after miracles after miracles, just God's favor and the door that God opens even for this entire family to navigate through a difficult season. And I think one of the greatest highlights was the doctor who first saw Alan and actually told this grim report that he had 0.00001% of being able to walk again because of the massive accident. He actually couldn't feel a lot of his body. But right after they had an operation and the doctor changes the report and say that, you know what, I want to take back what I said, but he now has 30% of the ability to walk again. Now, I know that it is still a far journey. And I know that this journey is going to have good news, bad news, difficult, stretching moment. But myself and my wife, and we told Kat and the family, this is what we're going to hang on. We're going to rejoice in hope of who God is. Because He loves us, He cares for us. He's ultimately the one that we can put all our hope upon Him. And then we're going to be patient in our tribulation and all the hardship. And finally, we are faithful in our prayer. And I believe that will help us to navigate. Bring all this now to my family. So this 2 days, I told my kids, you know, I said, you know, what we're going to do is, okay, our daily highlight is our dinner together. We're going to have the best food. We're going to come together in this MCO. And every night, we're going to spend some time, be reminded of Romans 12, verse 12. We're going to pray. And we pray for Alan, we pray for Teacher Tu Fan. And every time we gather, we're just kind of learning how to live out Romans 12:12 in a most practical manner. Just bringing everybody to fix our eyes on Jesus, be faithful in our prayer. And you know why? Because I believe in doing so. The navigation, the storm will rage. There might be even more deadly variants that will invade. We pray that it's not. But you know what? It's okay. We rejoice in the hope of who Christ is. We are patient in our tribulation. And we'll be faithful in our prayer. Now, I want to bring all of this to an end by creating a moment that we'll sing that song together and just enthrone Jesus and say, God, with these three handles, I'm going to walk through this season trusting that in every step, I will overcome whatever the world throws at me. Can we sing it together? Let's worship God. Let's enthrone Jesus.
I will love with all my heart. I will love with all my strength. I will love with
Lord, we are so grateful because we take this moment to enthrone you above all the storm that is raging around us, whether it's pandemic, whether it's economic, whether it's health, whether it's mental, whatever that's stressful. We say, Lord, with that three little phrases, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, persistent in prayer, God, we want to navigate through this season triumphantly, not sheepishly, not full of fear, but full of hope, full of persistency, full of prayer, and full of patience. Lord, I thank you. I bless everybody in the mighty name of Jesus. Hey, you know what? Just before you go, I want to point all of you, as many of you, the next weekend, we're going to have our prayer. Now, this is not a message to market prayer, please. This is simply a message to say to everybody, let's live differently. Let's be faithful in prayer. Filled with faith, filled with hope, as we come together next weekend, as many of us through Zoom, we're going to call upon God and throne God and believe that we will navigate through this season triumphantly. All right? God bless you. Thank you.